Welcome to the Rock Church of Coastal Hills with Pastor David Archibek. We now join the service in progress.
But today, guys, I'm going to talk on, again, the series is The Land of Un. I'm going to talk about unshaken. You know, it's the devil's chief strategy is to derail you and I in anything that we do, in our parenting, in our marriage, in our job, and almost just in our own self-confidence. He wants to derail you. And you know what he wants? I've seen this, and we've seen this in ISIS. One of the chief, what they want to see, you know, in ISIS is they want to stir fear within the people. How many realize if fear gets inside and grips your heart, it undoes you? But when we begin to understand who God has made us in this kingdom, this immovable kingdom, the kingdom of God, it says he makes us unshaken. Unshaken. Look at your neighbor and say, you're unshaken. So don't get shook up. I'm all shook up. Listen to this. I'm going to start off with Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26, 27, and 28. It says, yet once more I, and it's referring to God, I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Verse 27, now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. That sounds foreign, but verse 28 qualifies it. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The word unshaken means this: not disturbed from the firm position or state, steadfast and unwavering. You know what? And so what I'm going to emphasize today, it says we're of an unshakable kingdom. We have to realize that we live in this world, but we're not of it. Jesus was very clear in John chapter 17. How many realize we have to remind ourselves of that? We're in this world, but not of it. Because the world will get on you. Its stink, its mannerisms, its influence will get on you. How many realize that? I mean, I was just thinking about that this just recently. It's like, man, if you followed any of the politics that's going on, I mean, that stuff gets on you. You start following and they're bickering on who's lying and who's cheating, and it goes on. And I'm not trying to justify. I think it's all ugly, by the way. But it reminds me, this is the kingdom of this world. We're in it, but what? We're not of it. But if you delve in it and you begin to let it influence you, it will begin to shake you to your core. We have to remind ourselves, we're in it. Invisible kingdom called the kingdom of God. In fact, when Jesus talked in Luke chapter 9, and he sent the 12 disciples, he says, go to the cities round about you, and he says, preach the kingdom. Preach the kingdom. And I was thinking, what does it mean? What does it mean to have the kingdom? What is this? The kingdom. You could talk about it. In fact, Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples how to pray, he says, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom what? Come. Sometimes we have this mentality that this kingdom is a place that we're going to get to. And yes, it is. But does it begin when we get there? No, and we're going to see from the word of God, really the kingdom resides over the believers. We have kingdom access. We have kingdom privileges because we're a part of the kingdom. But there's also, how many realize there's protocols of this kingdom? There's protocols of this kingdom. If you want to be a part of the kingdom of this world, man, it really, you can reduce it down to this. Dog eat dog, right? I mean, come on. I mean, to me, it's been, again, the bickering and the attacks and the childishness of even what's going on of the political system. Because you know that's in our face every day if you've looked at the news. I'm like, I'm really hearing this. I'm like, these people are going to lead our nation. The highest position in the world. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're in trouble if you're part of this kingdom of this world. But Paul says it like this. He says in Philippians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 17. Let me give you the right address. Yeah, it's Philippians chapter 3:20. He says his citizenship is in heaven. We stay very connected to the things which are above. Amen. You know, this thing about, I like someone actually wrote a book called The Upside Down Kingdom, because this kingdom is so contrary to the world that, you know what? Jesus said it like this. He says, if someone slaps you, he says, turn the other cheek. He says this, something about the kingdom. He says, blessed are the poor. What? He says, blessed are those who mourn. What? Blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed. Blessed, get this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we start thinking, these are principles and protocols of the kingdom that Jesus just said, you know, it's upside down. He says, the way up is the way down. What? The way up is the way down? No, man, the way up is stepping on whoever gets in your way and just using people to get to what you want to achieve in life, right? No, that's contrary to the kingdom of God. And so we have to guard ourselves. We have to realize what kingdom is going to influence and what kingdom it is going to, you know, control your moods, your emotions, what you're going to live for. Amen. I'm so glad I'm part of we just read, an unshakable kingdom. Unshakable kingdom. Think about this. What causes you to shake? What captures, what keeps you, what causes you, what tries to throw you and derail you and throw you off your foundation, off your equilibrium? What is it? But we have to realize we're part of an unshakable kingdom. If we get derailed, we can actually see we have been fellowshipping a little too tight. I've been allowing the kingdom of this world to influence me too much. Amen. Jesus said in John 18:36, Jesus answered when he was talking to Pilate. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. You know, I have an illustration. You can go through the life of the disciples and men of God throughout the Bible. In fact, I was doing this. I was just thinking about King David. I was thinking about Saul. I was thinking about Asa and Jehoshaphat and Elijah and Elisha, these men of God who had the kingdom flowing through their lives. And I wanted to read, again, I could have used many examples. I'm going to take Paul. And some of you have heard this, but I want you to think in the terms of kingdom, of ruling and influencing Paul, of why he endured so much. And then I'm going to break it down and establish some three thoughts about the kingdom of God. But we're going to read from Acts chapter 16, verse 16 we're going to start with. And here we go. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul greatly annoyed. Turned and said, get this, to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her and come out. And he came out that very hour, verse 19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, were they interested in this girl's soul? No. Did they see her as value? They saw her as valuable, but they didn't value her. They saw her with dollar signs, and their hope of profit was gone. And because of this, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Verse 20, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." So now they're making it about the city. Their concern is really about the city. Come on. That's the kingdom of this world. And verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to who? To God, and to the prisoners who were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were what? What? The foundations were what? Shaken. When God comes on the spot, he shakes the kingdom of this world. However, those within his kingdom remain unshaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do not do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Just want you to know. The mindset of Paul, first of all, he's preaching the kingdom. He attacked this woman, attacked the spirit that was possessing this girl, not woman. And he came against the spirit. He ruffled the kingdom of this world because she was profitable, as we saw. Paul was unjustly tried and beaten, and he was thrown in prison. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes we read over there, Paul and Silas just sang hallelujah. They were just singing kumbaya in the prison. Guys, I believe they were in pain, obviously. They were beaten and thrown in shackles. And sometimes we kind of gloss over the pain was real. And I want to share something with you. The pain is real in the things that we face in this world. And I don't want to belittle it at all. In fact, sometimes we can feel like the pain is so real that and illegitimize God, if you would. And just like, no, my pain is so real, whether God's on the spot, I'm more focused on my pain. Anybody ever been in that place where you focus more on your pain and your problem and you actually disregarded God, ignored God, forgot God, right? Your pain was more real. I got to share something with you. Because it was real. But the kingdom, the worship was more real. Ever been in that place, I don't feel like worshiping? I think this could have been a moment with Paul and Silas that what I want to do is groan. What I want to do is reveal my pain and an unappreciation, maybe even doubt God. How could you let this happen? But because of their attachment to the kingdom and the motivation of the kingdom, what did they begin to do? They begin to worship. They begin to sing. He could have said, "You know what, Silas, let's not sing too loud because the jailkeeper will hear us. And we don't want to disturb the other prisoners. They might be sleeping," or right? But it says they sang, everybody heard. And the place where they were was shaken. Now, just another, you begin to worship. Why do we worship? Well, we want the presence of God. You begin to worship, and you establish his reign, his kingship in your presence, and things will shake. And because of that worship, every prisoner was let go, was freed, amen? Which is such a picture of why we worship longer, because there's things that every one of us is facing, right? And we're not, sometimes you can sit there, so come on, anybody ever been disconnected during worship? They going to sing long today? You know, I really don't like that song that they're doing. It's kind of loud and the music's kind of loud. It kind of hurting my ears. And man, someone's off pitch. Oh my God, pastor is off pitch again. And you can make it about that and miss it. And miss your freedom, miss your moment. Amen. And so I just wanted to establish a few things that Paul was so, his citizenship, he was so unmoved by what he saw. He was attached to this invisible kingdom, and this invisible kingdom has this very present help, King Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so with that says, there's a couple things I want to just bring forth real quick. What about this kingdom? What about this kingdom? Number one, it's a kingdom of provision. It's a kingdom of provision. Sometimes we forget. We get in a place and is God going to come through? Ever wonder that? Is my situation going to change? Will I have the right friends? Will I get the right job? Will my kids serve the Lord? Will there be restitution and reconciliation? Is there going to be change and breakthrough? Will there? The kingdom of God, yes. It's a kingdom of provision. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I love this. I love this verse. Luke 12, verse 31 and 32, it says, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Verse 32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the..." He has pleasure. But let me just back, you know, let me just rewind a couple of verses. But what he's talking about, he says, you know what? The Gentiles of this world, the people of this world, you know what they seek? They seek finances. They seek success. They're seeking what they're going to eat next. They're seeking where their food's going to come, what they're going to wear. They're seeking these things. They're seeking things. But he's telling you, your Father knows you have need of these things. And of course, Matthew 6:33, popular scripture, you know this. But it says, let me just highlight a little bit further on this verse. It says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first. You want kingdom benefits? You want kingdom supply? God says it very clearly, seek first the kingdom, and these things will be added. You need joy. You need peace. Seek first the what? The kingdom. And I love this. It's your Father's good pleasure. He has pleasure in our supply. Amen? Number two. Real simple. Some of us have heard this. Number two, the kingdom is within. What? Yes, it is a place, but listen to this. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 21. It says, "Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is what?" The kingdom is what? Within. So how do we access the things of the kingdom? Through our spirit. The spirit. You begin to access the things and the benefits that God has. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "He," talking about Jesus, "has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us unto the kingdom of his Son." Notice, or translated, transformed us to the kingdom of his Son, of his love. We see the kingdom is within, but notice Colossians says he's delivered us from the power. He's delivered. Are you living in a place of torment, of oppression, of affliction? I know Christians who are not living in the freedom that God has provided for us, guys. Fear. Doubt. Are you living? I just want to share. It says we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Did you know that depression is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. Fear is not listed as a fruit of the Spirit. And yet, I know Christians will, insecurity. It doesn't say, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, insecurity, fear, conflict, and troublesome. It says the Son has delivered us from the power. It did have a hold on us. And it wants, the kingdom of this world, it has claws. How many realize that? It has a really good sticky glue. And it'll attach to you real quick. It just depends. You know what it's contingent upon? It's how much place you're able to give it and how much you're willing to give it. That's why the Bible says, give the devil no place. None. It says you have, not gonna be delivered. It says you have been delivered from the power of darkness. That's good news, guys. That is good news. That's the kingdom of God. It says you and I have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. And lastly, what about this kingdom? And this one is, it's packed. I'm going to read it. It's power packed. But the third, about this kingdom, it's all powerful. It's all powerful. We live in an all powerful kingdom. And I want you to listen to what Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. Jesus is having a dialogue with Peter. Jesus had asked his disciples, says, who do you all say that I am? Some say Elijah. Some say Elijah, some say a prophet. But who do you say that I am? And Peter, of course, says, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And so Peter is answered by Jesus, and I'm picking up on verse 18, and it says, I also say to you that you are Peter, because Peter says you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answers, and verse 18, he says, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, and I will give you, get this, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's power, but can I also, with every time God gives power, he also gives a deep responsibility. He just doesn't, say, here's this power, just spray it. Understand. But notice, in context, he's saying, initially he started, and he says, the gates of hell will not prevail. What's he talking about? He's talking about the gates of hell. Now, again, I used to think the gates of hell are coming after us. No, gates of hell are established. We are pursuing. We are, if you would, we're on the offense. We, as Christians, it says the gates of hell will not prevail. So with that said, notice, Jesus says, I'm going to give you the keys. Now think about it. What are keys? Keys will access to your car, right? Not anybody can walk up to your car and drive it away unless they have the... Nobody can get into your house unless they have the keys. The Lord say, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And notice, because you have the keys, I believe he's not just saying, some will say, this is just Peter. No, I believe he's actually empowering the church. And Peter's just an illustration of what he's giving to the church. But is it so you can bind your neighbor? Is it so you can, loose all the gold into my bank account? I mean, you know what I mean? People get weird when they start reading this. In the context, he's talking about the gates of hell will not prevail. When you're talking about demonic, this is such a powerful, powerful. Guys, whether you realize it or not, we're in a spiritual battle. And we are not on the defense. I hope you're not. You could be in a place where you could just allow the devil to keep pressing you back. I don't want to fall backwards. That'd be bad. But he's saying, what God is saying, I'm giving you keys. There's going to be some attacks. There's going to be assaults on your emotions and on your family and on your destiny. But you got to realize the gates of hell will not prevail. I want you to bind and loose and begin to use a power that I've given you. Because you got to realize, guys, there is a very real spiritual world out there. If you're suddenly, you're having a good day and suddenly, have you ever been in that place and suddenly you're mad, you're sad, you're fearful. You're like, what did that, you're discouraged? Where did that come from? I was having such a good day. I've woken up before at night. It just, and I've, there's just like, when I've gotten up at night, there's a fear. It's like, what the heck? You know, you come to your mind, it's like, in the name of Jesus, fear, because the Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit, you know. God hasn't given you the spirit, so bind that thing in the name of Jesus. Not because you're anything, it's because who's living in, and you're represented by the kingdom. Amen? It's not, again, you know, sometimes people have a hard time. It's like, who are you to bind the devil? Well, Paul bound the spirit that was in this woman. I heard someone say, you're not, who are you to come against the devil? You're no match for the devil. I don't come in my own. I'm just representing the kingdom, and I got the host of heaven backing me. Because whatever you bind on earth shall be bound, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed. You guys, you got to get this. We got to start understanding certain things happen in our life because I think sometimes we permit them. God's grace will come in, but there comes a time where God wants us to go on the offense. It's any, you know, you got to understand your authority. When a police officer stands out on the street directing traffic, it's not because he has the power to overcome cars. And he's not Iron Man. Boom, you know, that's why he's out there. No, he's actually been given authority from the city, the state. Can he actually take on a car? No, but he has authority. He's a representative, right, for our police department. He's representing. And when he stands there, the whole state stands behind him. At least they should. We've seen that kind of wane, right? But in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven's not up there saying, I don't know if we're going to represent them today. They have a bad attitude. They're sour today. They're, right? But we got to realize God has given us authority, guys. And I think we have fallen prey to so many tactics and your emotions. And you've talked yourself out of your calling. There were some things you were really excited about. Guys, if the devil can sideline you, if he can deter you, he's going to do it. And so that's why the Bible says that the Lord has given you authority. He gives you the keys. I got the keys. Amen. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed. I believe, guys, some of you are in need. You have certain needs in your life. It could be emotional. It could be physical. But you just begin to say, you begin to, Lord, and you align yourself with the Word of God. Never begin to play with this stuff that's apart from the Word of God. I can't go further, but here's a safeguard. It's John 15:7. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he says, ask whatsoever you will, and it will be given. But what was the contingency? Abiding in his word. His word is living in you. You speak it. You're living it. You're meditating on it. That's why we have this maturity on Tuesday nights with Tom, and he's teaching about growing in maturity, about learning how to meditate, and it's keeping the word first and primary in our life. Amen? Where are some areas that you've opened the door? I think all of us know. You may have opened the doors to some temptation. Making some faulty decisions. Well, I'm telling you, the power of God is available. You know, I'm in the light over here, huh, when I'm over here and everywhere. I feel a dark spot here. No, it's okay? I'm feeling the darkness over there. Yeah. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. Know what he's saying here? For the kingdom of God is not in word. There is word and there's instruction from the word of God, but it's not a to-do list. Be good, love your neighbor, be kind, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. That's part of it, but Jesus says, in other words, Paul is saying, don't get caught up in just rules. Let the power come out. When Jesus sent his disciples, got to realize, guys, he says, go preach the kingdom. You know what he said next? You can look it up in Luke chapter 9. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Heal the sick, cleanse and cast out devils, because he's saying there's a demonic world out there, and I believe he's saying, be aware of it. Don't fear it. I give you the keys. Amen? You know what? This is about taking, I saw some motivational speaker saying, you got to take back your life. You know, you can't do it in your flesh. You align yourself with the kingdom. Operate with kingdom principles. Understand he's given us the keys of the kingdom. And use your delegated authority from heaven. Then you take back your life. Because some of y'all have been wrestling with depression too long. Some of y'all have been wrestling with insecurity too long. And doubt too long. And begin to proclaim who you are. This is when you begin to live in an unshakable kingdom. Amen. It says the kingdom of this world heaven, the kingdom of heaven is unshaken from the elements of what's going around us. Amen. In closing, guys, I like this. Psalm 16:8. It says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Is it up there? I love this. I have set the Lord. Notice, he had to set the Lord before him. It's almost like God gives us, through our will, what are we going to set before us? Right? He also said that to Joshua. He says, I set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. I set it before you. What are you going to grab? He says, he realized that there's a choice. I have set the Lord what? Every now and then, Sunday mornings, I have set the Lord what? Continually before me. Get this, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be, in the Amplified version, the version I read, I shall not be shaken. I shall not be shaken. I shall not be shaken. Amen. Just like Paul, he was kingdom motivated, kingdom perspective, living a kingdom life, understanding that he has authority. Whatever he binds, he bound a spirit out of a woman. He had very much the potential. And I believe he was in dire pain. I believe he didn't reduce himself to the elements of this world. But he began to what? Worship. They begin to sing, bringing the kingdom on the spot. That's what happens when, you know what the Bible says? It says God inhabits our praises. Inhabits. You know what, in the Greek really for that, actually the Hebrew of that really means he enthrones, because he's a king. When God inhabits the praises of his people, he enthrones himself on the praises. That's what happened with Paul. Yeah, the pain is real, but I choose. I'm going to worship because I'm going, my citizenship, my power, my focus, and my drive is not of this world. And what it did in turn, it released the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. a praise is important. Amen. Did you get something from the Lord on that? Praise God. Praise God. You know, I just want us to, hey, Tony, can you get my mic on the keyboard? I believe, what time is it? Yeah, I believe, I was asking the Lord what to do here. But I believe, even as Paul and Silas that we just read, they begin to praise and sing. And prison doors were open. Wherever you're at, we're just going to sing just a minute, a couple choruses and stuff. But begin to shed those things that have tried to attach themselves. Because realizing, I will not be shaken. I am unshaken. Amen. Let's stand. Tony, can you give me some wedge, please?
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord.
Come on, exalt the King. Come on, exalt him in this place.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour.
Some of you are in need of healing. Hallelujah. We ask God, healing just be poured out in this place in Jesus' name. Every ailment, Lord, that prison of sickness that can confine us, we speak, Lord God, the high praises of God. Some have been under such oppression, such sadness, and we declare the high praises of God. The kingdom, they'll be shaking, but not the kingdom, but the things of this world will be broken. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The kingdom is within you. Hallelujah. It's a powerful kingdom. We use the keys to the kingdom for our liberation. Hallelujah. Lord, we loose finances. Some of us are in need of finances. We loose it in Jesus' name. Lord, and restoration to significant broken relationships. We just exalt you. We know the pain is real, but we exalt you. We feel like we're in stocks, but we worship you. Our backs, as it were, our emotions are bleeding, but we worship you.